In today's video, you'll learn from participating in employee resource groups to leading them. We explore the steps to moving into ERG leadership roles and what challenges to look out for. Let's make a social impact. Hi, everyone. I'm Carl. Welcome to the Social Impact Show, a channel where you get the latest strategies and tips to help you scale and grow your CSR and goodness programs. So I've got two special guests today. My first guest, she's also my co-host. Her name is Tiffany Heward. She is an ERG community builder in the ERG space. And our special guest is Maceo Owens, who is she is an ERG homegirl and CEO and founder of the ERG movement. Maceo, I guess let's get started. You know, I understand that getting involved in ERGs set your career in a whole new trajectory. So what kind of skills have you learned that working with ERGs that have benefited you professionally?
There are so many that I can list out, but one of the top ones is really networking. I like to say, and I mean, it's not my saying, but I do say it a lot, that your network is your net worth. And really at the time when I first got into ERGs, in that case, I would have kind of a relatively low net worth in that I was just in a support role, like literally entry level. And I was in a company where it was like out of the question to talk to executives and things like that. So really, one, to be able to know how to communicate with people at different levels of an organization across different teams and really build stakeholder relationships, things like that. Those are real core skills that I feel like I can take anywhere. But also, even when it comes to, as an ERG leader in particular, being able to work with a team or even lead a team towards a goal. So strategizing was one of those other core skills that I learned. One of my favorites that I really value and I take everywhere is design thinking, which is something that I had never heard before I got into ERG leadership, but really understanding how to set a goal and then understand what's the best way to reach that goal by asking people what they want. And that actually, this is my first time saying it out loud, but it makes so much sense in what I talk to ERG leaders about and why I'm always telling them, ask your audience what they want from you. This way you can deliver on what they want and you're not guessing. So this is my first time piecing that together, but even the design thinking process, and that's one of those things that I've been able to bring into other roles over time too.
Do you think you would have been able to acquire some of these skills in the manner that you acquired them if you didn't have an ERG to lean on or participate in?
Definitely not, because one, I didn't know where to start. And I think like many people, like the thought of asking for a mentor is very intimidating. And even at the time, just with the type of role that I was in, it wasn't those type of roles where you would ask for a mentor. It's just kind of hopping from hourly job to hourly job and maybe I'll like this one. It just so happened that I found out about an ERG program and I was like, let me just shoot my shot because I don't have anything else to lose. But really, I wouldn't have even known that those were skills that I needed to have, let alone would they have been skills that I gained. And even then, there are so many people, especially, and that's one of the things that I love about an ERG, where they understand like it's hard to ask for help or hard to say like, okay, I'm not skilled at this, I need help. So having people from a similar background being able to just say like, look, I know that this isn't your expertise, I'm here to help you out, I'm here to give you some advice, I'm here to tell you what to ask for in your, you know, when you're up for a promotion or when you're looking for a new job. Like I just didn't have any context that some of these worlds even existed. So it was, the ERG was like, it was really a game changer for me.
Well, speaking of advice, what kind of advice would you give to ERG leaders or those who want to step into the ERG leadership space?
I would say for people who want to step into the ERG leadership space, it sounds kind of obvious, but just to do it, there's really nothing to lose in doing it. Honestly, I would actually ask them what's holding them back from it, because there's just so many benefits with building your internal network, building your external network, connecting with executives. And honestly, that's one of the big things that I would say probably to someone who is an ERG leader. The power of an executive sponsor is so underrated and underutilized within the ERG space, where sometimes we're just looking for execs to show up in a way that we never defined. And typically that relationship with an executive sponsor is a little bit rocky, but by building a relationship with your executive sponsor who already has volunteered and said, like, look, I'm interested in helping this community, you have to make the most out of that relationship and let them know what you will want from your career and what your aspirations are. They're in a position to make those things happen. But if you don't ask and if you don't make those connections, it's not going to happen. But I know me personally, I would have never been where I am now if it wasn't for an executive sponsor and a good relationship there.
And like, I guess I want to follow that up with, how do you go about getting that executive sponsor? Like, I know that could be intimidating or very tough for people who, especially if they work for a larger organization.
In my opinion, whoever approved for the ERG program to start, they have some responsibility on them. And historically, that's been one of the things that's existed in the ERG space where maybe it's time to change, where oftentimes there's people who approve for ERG programs to start, but then they just let ERG leaders fully run with it and say, like, you're responsible for the success and for the failures of this program, which, yes, I kind of believe, but only after whoever approved for the ERG program to start initially, after they put in place systems and processes for the ERG program to continue efficiently, where oftentimes that's completely skipped. So in a perfect world, that person would delegate someone and like at least talk to the executive sponsors and to assign executive sponsors accordingly. That's the perfect world. And that's like ideal. If an ERG leader has to be the one to advocate for it, honestly, I would just say, first, with you understanding what you want this ERG to be, so really clarifying what your ERG's mission statement is and what you're hoping to accomplish. And from there, just making it really clear on what it means to be an executive sponsor, because sometimes it can be a heavier load than others, but the executive sponsor won't know what it means until you define it. And again, that helps really just to set the tone for that relationship in general anyway. Just like with an ERG leader's role, they should have their role defined before they volunteer. Same concept when you approach an executive sponsor. You should have what you want them to do defined before they are forced to accept or decline.
Yeah, I love that. That makes a lot of sense. We kind of touched on this earlier, but I'd like to take a little step back and just hear kind of a bit more about where you started your career and how ERGs have shaped your journey along the way.
Yes, it is quite a fun story. I will say I've been in so many different industries. And at the time when I first learned about ERGs, I was at a big tech company, but I was like a support agent. So barely over minimum wage. Like I said, I didn't go to college. So it was truly an entry level role. That being said, it was just to the point where I knew I could do more, but I didn't know how to get to the next level in my career. I was probably even looking to leave the company at the time, and I just so happened to stumble across the Employee Resource Group program. And once I found out about it, I was just completely obsessed and immediately applied to be an ERG leader and got it. So I was one of the co-chairs of a Black ERG at a big tech company. So that's kind of how I first got into it. Now, that being said, that was the end of 2019 when I first got into ERG leadership. So with 2020 coming up very soon, there's a few things that I guess I don't want to say like the stars aligned, because in a sense, there was a lot of bad things that happened, but that really worked out to my favor. So with me being in my support role, I was remote. So while at the time, a lot of ERG programming was happening in person and live, and I was still able to support sometimes with virtually, the majority of things were happening in office. But then with March of 2020 coming around and we're moving to virtual, well, that was already my space anyway. So I already almost had an advantage of saying, oh, now we have everyone in the company doing what I'm interested in and like doing these Zoom calls. Additionally, with the Black Lives Matter movement happening, which obviously was unfortunate because it was the result of some unfortunate events. But that being said, being a Black ERG leader at that time, it really gave me the opportunity to flex my skills to executives, where now I'm on the call with like 10 different executives at a time. It actually led to me running a huge program that was specifically geared towards people of color. So there were so many things that came out of being an ERG leader at that time. Again, doing all this as a support agent, Now, that being said, that didn't guarantee me my next role. Like at the time, I didn't know how to translate my ERG work into what I was doing on a day-to-day scale, or at least not in a way that my manager valued. So I did still end up leaving the company. But that being said, that same day that I resigned, the executive sponsor reached out to me on my personal email and was like, we have to get you back immediately. And so within a month, I was back on the people team with my first salary job, assisting with the ERGs, but also just in employee engagement in general. And that was like really the start of so many things. So that was like a long story to like say how I really got into falling in love with ERGs. Cause after I saw what they could do for me, I was like, wow, other people could really, really benefit from this.
No, that's great. And kind of just one thing that came up in my mind when you were speaking is you said that your role was really kind of focused on that like remote virtual side of things, which like has benefited you. And I guess that's one thing that I feel like always comes up as a challenge. Do you have any kind of advice for like engaging remote workers and stuff in this like kind of world where things are still very hybrid and there has been a bit of a return to work, but not fully. So just kind of advice for like program leaders on how to tackle that.
Yeah. And it is different than it was at the beginning of COVID, where I would say like, do as many things as possible because people want to feel connected, even though that they're spread out. Nowadays, there's so many other factors at play. So with all of the layoffs that are happening and just in general, people feeling burnt out, people feeling Zoom fatigue now, all the things, you have to be strategic how you approach virtual events. And personally, I would even recommend doing things shorter. So no longer doing the 1 hour events, especially the ones that don't bring that much impact. So having one person just like a boring speaker, I hate to say it that way, but honestly, I've seen that trend so often in ERGs, especially ones that cost a lot and take a lot of ERG budget. So how can you really use the time that you are bringing people together, maximize it to actually help to meet the goals of your members? So that's the one thing that I would really recommend for ERG leaders to do is to rethink what it means to have people together virtually. Again, making it something that they can't do in Slack or something that has to be done live in person, because anyone could honestly just look up a YouTube video and 9 times out of 10 get that same type of value that we get from a lot of speakers. But what they can't do on YouTube is actually get that closer connection with people from their community in the workplace. And that's what ERG leaders should focus on. And honestly, if you do that, ERG leaders will see that they'll actually have a better use of their budget, where it's not just going out in big speaker budgets, but now you're using your budget in a way that's going to maximize engagement.
No, I appreciate that. Thank you. And now we'll move forward a little bit. So Carl introduced us at the beginning, but can you tell us a bit about the ERG movement and kind of what you're working towards?
Yeah. So with the ERG movement, just fast forwarding with that story, basically, long story short, I landed a 6-figure role leading an ERG program. And that being said, I wanted to connect with others in the ERG space immediately and learn like what were the best practices. And I learned very quickly that there weren't a ton of best practices out there. However, just with, like I said, I come from a lot of different industries and really my major background is in entrepreneurship. Like I'm obsessed with it. It's what I do for fun, honestly. So by me applying different entrepreneurship principles into the ERG space, I was just seeing such a different result than a lot of my peers. And I ended up doing a call with probably over 300 ERG leaders, like individual calls, just giving people advice where really I was looking for advice at first, but eventually I found out like, I have something that could really help this space. So the ERG movement is just my way of scaling that and really providing as many resources as possible to ERG leaders and to program managers. Really, I like to say helping the people that help people. And that's something that I can feel good about. So with the ERG movement, we have a free community for ERG leaders and program managers. We do monthly workshops. I just try to put out as many resources as possible, podcasts, all the things. So lots of things happening with the ERG movement, lots of things coming as well.
So Maisie, the next segment here is more of like really quick, under a minute, bite-sized information for our audience, right? So, you know, the first one is, and I think you've answered a little bit of this, is what is one piece of advice you have for all ERG leaders out there?
One piece of advice. If I had to choose one, ooh, that is actually a difficult one. I was thinking about it too. I'll probably say don't underestimate the power of data. Where oftentimes that's something that's like an afterthought for ERG leaders, but truly your numbers have so many of the answers that you're looking for. Why your engagement is low, why you're feeling burnt out, all those things, the answers to that is going to lie in the numbers. And these are tools that you already have access to. So just take a look at the numbers that you already have.
Appreciate that. And I think you kind of touched on this one a little bit, but maybe just to sum up kind of like what inspired you to get involved in your first ERG?
I think that I definitely needed community. I was a remote employee at the time, so I wanted to be connected with others, but it was almost impossible. A lot of the times, like a lot of support agents, it feels like your own island working in support. And that's definitely what it felt. I definitely didn't know anyone in any of the grown-up teams, if you will. So all of the like the marketing and the product, that was completely foreign to me. So once I found out that I couldn't connect with people, especially people that look like me, which was just so unheard of, immediately I fell in love. And here we are.
So Maisie, we could talk about ERG for quite a long time because there's a lot to unpack. And do you have any final thoughts?
Final thoughts, I would say to check out the ERG movement. Honestly, that would probably be because there's so many resources that I try to put out there completely free for ERG leaders, especially the ERG development model, where honestly, I believe if you don't know where you're going, there's another half to that statement and it literally just went out of my head. But the point is to know your end destination, and really with the ERG development model that I created, I hope to paint that picture for ERG leaders. So I'll truly just say checking out the ERG movement is like the best thing ERG leaders can do.
And if our audience wants to connect with you or learn more about the ERG movement, what's the best place to reach you?
I would say on LinkedIn. I might not answer right away, but I promise I will answer your message. And you can also just check out the ergmovement.com, and it has a link to all of our socials where we have all this information.
Thank you for listening to The Social Impact Show. Make sure to rate, review, and subscribe. Then visit benevity.com to access some of the resources mentioned in this episode, along with tons of other insights to help you grow your program. Music provided by Ikeson. For questions or topics you want us to cover, reach us at podcast@benevity.com. Until next time, be a force for good.